Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, St. Paul, in his great wisdom, tells us to think about these things. I know it's not as easy as it sounds. Bad news is around us all the time, but we can start and end our days with St. Paul's advice in mind. Think about the goodness in our world. And why don't we talk about it, too? That's certainly what we're going to try to do here on Call Me Catholic today, and we're glad you're going to join us. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation that explores, affirms, and celebrates our Catholic identity in these modern times. So you can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh, yeah, you can call me Catholic. And this is when I always announce the presence of my engineer-in-chief fact-checker, Jimmy G. But Jimmy G is away this weekend. He is meeting his new granddaughter, Joy. So we're making our own Joy in the studio today because in his place, I have incomparable Ian sitting in the driver's seat. Ian, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you. I like what you did there with the Joy and
Joy. Yeah, a little transition there.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, you're a podcast guy. You have your own podcast, so you understand.
We got that turn of the lip, the tongue. You got to be with it. Yeah,
it's
like
all
that.
About the words, right? Because
exactly.
People can't see us, so we have to communicate through our words.
Well, they actually can see us if they go to our Facebook Live. We're streaming in studio. You can visit us right here.
Thank you for picking up that cue. You'd think you were here all every Saturday. You did this once before, right?
I did. I have a little bit of experience.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for mentioning this to our listeners that you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. And Ian has put up a little live stream of our studio so you can get a little peek into our life here live as it actually happens. And then it stays up there so you can go back later today or share it with friends. And this is an opportunity for me also to give a shout out to our EWTN team in Irondale who is helping to produce the show today. We're bringing in all the A team to have to replace Jimmy G. Matt Gubinski, I am indebted to you, friend. Thank you for helping us out today. And, this is also a great time to tell you that Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN and the Diocese of Orange here in Southern California. Our studio is located high atop the Tower of Hope on the landmark Christ Cathedral campus, nestled in there between San Diego and Los Angeles. So now you know where we are and where we're connected. We've got everybody in their place so we can start our show. It's a big weekend for our EWTN family because our very own Jeanette Bankovic, probably the most well-known and beloved female personality at EWTN, just below Mother Angelica, God rest her soul. Jeanette is host of Women of Grace. Yesterday, she married Jack Williams, who's our general manager at EWTN Radio, just yesterday. So congratulations to the happy couple and many blessings on your marriage. Yeah, bravo, bravo.
Yes.
How many years ago did you get married, Ian?
Three this year.
3 years ago. And your son just celebrated his second birthday.
I'm an old man now.
You wear it well, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
No, but marriage is never exactly what you expect it to be, right?
That is very true. Do you have any wisdom for me that you can pass along?
Okay, I do, actually, because our middle son is getting married in a couple of months. And so I've thought a lot about marriage. And I often want to tell young couples when they're standing right before they go onto the altar, look, you think you're going to be able to write your own script. You think you're going to be able to just say, this is going to be my story. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to have this many children. We're going to buy a house here. We're going to change jobs here. No, you cannot write your own story, but you can bring your love to the story, and that will make all the difference. What do you think?
I like that. How's your son? Is he receptive to that?
I think so. Okay. But, you know, when you're in love and you're excited about getting married and you're excited about making the plans, you know, you just can't envision what you just have nothing but sort of happy thoughts about what your future holds.
It's a little scary, so that's good to hear. That's all I have to bring, my love? Okay.
Commitment, because that really makes all the difference in the story, because you know there's going to be wonderful surprises and sometimes disappointments and trials, as you probably already know 2 years into it.
I like that, surprises. That's a good way to
Well, I know.
That.
Well, Xavier was a bit of a surprise,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was. Thank you for reminding me.
No, he's 2 years old, but he's a big, big, beautiful boy. Just like his daddy.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, well. Okay, happy Memorial Day to everybody this weekend. Let's take some time this weekend to remember and honor all those men and women who died in active military service for our country. That's what this national holiday is all about. Yes, it also heralds the beginning of summer. The summer season is actually about a month away, but it's kind of like when the school year is ending and we're all kicking into a new lifestyle, the summer lifestyle. But remember that it is actually so much more important than that. It's about courage and generosity of spirit, which is scriptural, right? To lay down one's life for one's friends or fellow countrymen. You know, yesterday I was in a bookstore and they had featured on their display shelf this book that George W. Bush's portraits of all the veterans that he has remarkable artistic talent.
Yeah. He's done a lot since his time away.
Yeah, he has. I mean, I think it probably started as a therapy session, but he visits all these veterans of war, men and women of all ages, all different nationalities or ethnic backgrounds, and he paints them, and a lot of them are wounded, but they're very sort of impressionistic, and they're done with real thick strokes of oil, and they're very, very moving, and I thought that was a nice book for them to have out on display this Memorial Day weekend. So the men and women we honor on Memorial Day really embody bravery, and here's another thing to think about. Courage is really implicit in a good life of faith, spiritual courage. Catholic values are not really that popular in today's culture, and it's scary sometimes to take a stand publicly or even to teach our children what Jesus taught us because it isn't popular with contemporary culture, and that takes courage to hold your ground sometimes. In business, in social circles, from the pulpit, it takes courage to consistently live what we believe and trust in the teachings of the church and the Word of God. But, you know, interestingly, when we witness somebody doing that, it's very compelling and it's very inspiring and we know that it's right. So we have to look no further than our contemporary saints of last century and this century to understand spiritual courage. Let's look at Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. There was courage and trust all over her life. That was the handwriting in her life. And it was beautiful, wasn't it? We are, in fact, going to look at St. Teresa of Calcutta today through the eyes of a young woman who has portrayed her on stage for the last 11 years, Ian. 11 years she's been doing this show.
So you're pretty familiar then. At that point, after 11 years, you know the character.
She's got it memorized, I think.
Okay, yeah, probably.
Kristen Gizak is an actress and a playwright whose one-woman show, Person to Person, A Mother Teresa Project, depicts not just the precious saint herself, but also five people whose lives were touched by Mother Teresa. It's a very interesting and very compelling piece, and I don't think you're going to want to miss that conversation. That's coming up in just a minute. But first up, it's our Call Me Catholic Countdown, which this week, in honor of Memorial Day, is going to be my top five saints who were also extremely courageous soldiers. Yep, we've got lots of soldiers in our Communion of Saints, and I'm going to give you my top five for the day. So here we go. Thanks, Matt. Right
Call
on cue. Good job,
Catholic
man.
Countdown.
Okay. Number five is Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Now, you know the saint. He established the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus. And when you think of the Jesuits, we think of kind of academic scholars. But in fact, Ignatius of Loyola was a very zealous soldier first. He joined the army at 17 and couldn't engage in enough duels with the Moors. He was a very, very excited soldier, a little bit vainglorious, so his motives were not always pure. But it wasn't until he got seriously injured at the age of 30 that he had to go into this kind of contemplative state, and he started reading about some of the doctors of the church, the life of Christ, and he reevaluated his life, and he went on to establish the Jesuits and gave us a pope, Pope Francis. Okay, so he was a soldier, St. Ignatius of Loyola. Number four will be St. George. Now, when you think of St. George, does an image come to mind, Ian?
I was going to say, for whatever reason, go ahead, you got it.
Yes. I think you're right, though, the slaying of the dragon.
Exactly.
Right. There's a little bit of legend, perhaps, involved in his slaying of the dragon. I think the dragon represents evil, the devil, and indeed he did slay them. But he was first a soldier. He was born in early Christianity to Christian parents, but he enlisted as a soldier in the service of the emperor. And the emperor, turns out, really didn't like Christ and wanted all of his army, all of his guards, to denounce Christ and bring food to the altar of the pagan gods. So George said, nope, not having that. And it was Emperor Diocletian. So he kind of stood his ground and said, no, I'm not compromising my Christian beliefs. I'm not going to denounce Christ. So he was martyred rather gruesomely, as I recall, and it took quite a bit of time. But in the end, that's how we remember him, as slaying the dragon, because we know him and we probably don't know much about Diocletian.
That's a great image, though. Yeah. Always very appropriate.
Yeah, and I think he is the patron saint of England, too. Okay. Now, I don't know the connection, but somewhere. Okay, number three would be Father Capone. Now, this is a 20th century soldier who is well on his way to sainthood. So he is now the servant of God, Father Emil Capone. And boy, talk about courage and generosity. He was a United States Army captain and chaplain. So he served in the Army during World War II and during the Korean War. And he was a beloved chaplain. There was nothing that could get in the way of his getting to his boys, he called them, to administer the sacraments, to say mass, to pray with them. And eventually he was captured along with a lot of them and was sent to a prison camp in North Korea, and where everybody suffered a great deal, but he was a great source of inspiration. And eventually he did die, but he got the Medal of Honor from our government. And he is, like I said, his cause for sainthood is well underway. So Father Emil Capone, remember him in your prayers that we can accelerate that, because, the Army could use a good patron saint.
Yeah. Any
patron.
Relation to another Capone?
Oh, no, it's not Al Capone, are you thinking?
Oh, well, I didn't know if it was interesting
no,
family.
If it is, it's an uncle he's not claiming.
Okay, maybe.
No, actually, they're spelled differently. Capone is Father Emil Capone is K-A-P-A-U-N.
Oh,
I probably not. But it's a little tricky to pronounce.
Okay,
Father Emil Capone.
My bad.
Al Capone, God rest your soul, though, man. Okay, number two would be St. Francis of Assisi. We think of him as, you know, the Prince of Peace, you know, the ambassador for non-aggression. But he was first a soldier. He was quite a bon vivant, and being a soldier in the Middle Ages in those days was quite fashionable. So he went and he fought in Perugia and all that stuff. But once again, he was injured, and while he was recovering, he started reading and contemplating his life, and eventually got that call to rebuild my church, I believe were the words Christ used in calling him. St. Francis of Assisi, first a soldier, then a saint. Okay, number one, I got to give a call out to St. Joan of Arc, the Maid of Orleans. She led the victorious battle against the English during the Hundred Years' War. A young woman, highly irregular for those days to have a young woman in the armed services, but she actually never carried a weapon. She would just march alongside the men in her chainmail, and she would carry the banner, the fleur-de-lis banner, and encourage them and pray with them. And unfortunately, you know, she was tried for heresy and cross-dressing. I think she actually was tried for that. And these were her words. They said, "Do you think you're in God's grace?" And it was a trick question, because if she said yes, that would mean she was far too haughty and had too high an opinion. If she said no, then it would confirm her guilt. So she said, "If I am not, may God put me there. If I am, may God so keep me." So there you go. My five saints who were soldiers. Now, their motives were all a little different. They all became soldiers, served in the military for different reasons, but they allowed their service to their countries spill over into serving God to advance his kingdom. They used courage and discipline to become great disciples, and we can learn from their examples. So there you go. Those are my five top saints for this Memorial Day weekend. Hey, check out our Facebook page, by the way. You might be looking at our live stream right now, but you can also just become a fan, become a member of our family, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Kristen Gizak is up next to talk about the very courageous soldier of service, St. Teresa of Calcutta. Kristen portrays the saint in her original one-woman show, Person to Person, The Mother Teresa Project. I'm coming up next with Kristen. Stay tuned.
2018 Religious Education Conference on EWTN Radio. Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Hey there. How are you, friends, on this fine Memorial Day weekend? I am Peggy Normanton, and this is Call Me Catholic. And I'd just like to remind you that at 4:30 p.m. today on EWTN Radio, you should turn in to Doug Keck. Doug Keck's interview on EWTN Bookmark. He always interviews a very interesting author. 30 minutes of really good probing questions that give you an insight into the book, and you end up wanting to buy it at the end. So that's 4:30 today. Okay, I salute you on this holiday. We especially salute the brave men and women who died in service of our country. We should always commemorate those who fought for our freedom, who gave their lives either completely or through service, so that we can be liberated from wrongful authority or evil forces against humanity. Service, courage, those are the operative words for this Memorial Day weekend. We're all called to be Christian soldiers in our civilian lives, too. What did Pope Francis say? He said he wants our church to be like a field hospital out there on the front lines. Okay. So many of our saints have lived in the trenches of human struggles, fighting for lives and souls. In our lifetime, in my lifetime at least, maybe I have some very young listeners, but I have seen such a woman canonized, St. Teresa of Calcutta, who established the Missionaries of the Poor, served the poorest of the poor, and certainly fought like a soldier for the rights of the most neglected populations in the world. Her life has been documented much while she was alive, and certainly after her death in 1997. And Kristen Jezak is one of those biographers who wanted to capture the spirit and impact of Mother Teresa through live theater. So 11 years ago, she introduced her one-woman show, Person to Person, the Mother Teresa Project, which began as a graduate thesis project while working toward her MA in theater at Villanova University. Now, since then, Kristen has performed the Mother Teresa Project across the United States and also at World Youth Day in Australia. She is a member of the Lay Association of the Daughters of St. Paul. I want to talk to her about that. And she lives out their mission in the entertainment industry as an actress and a writer. Kristen Jezak. Well, I love saying your name. Welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hi, thank you.
You know, we're going to be talking about Mother Teresa. We're going to be talking about your production and also about some of your other work and your life as an actress in Hollywood. But I want to encourage our listeners, if you think you're going to have a question for Kristen or you have a comment you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call. The number this week is 833-288-3986. Our friends in Irondale at the mothership there in EWTN in Alabama will be answering the calls and bringing them right in through to our board. So the number again is 833-288-3986. Kristen, let's talk first of all about this project, which you call the Mother Teresa Project.
Yes.
It's called Person to Person. Why is it named like that? It's an unusual structure.
So there is a beautiful quote that I found from Mother Teresa, and she said, to us, it is the individual that matters. To show that love and respect for the person, I believe in person to person, every person is Christ to me. And Mother Teresa really stressed, I mean, you hear her talk about like, gosh, she served the masses. But she said that the only way she was able to do it was if she approached one person at a time.
Yeah.
And it's the whole idea that we can do that, that we can serve one person at a time.
So that was the quote that kind of impacted you. That was the modus operandi that impacted you. How did you translate that into a live theater production?
So I know.
It's There's an answer there, I think.
There is an answer. There was also a beautiful litany that I found from her that she wrote the first time she was hospitalized in 1983 called Who is Jesus to Me? And my brother actually put it to music for the production. Ooh. But she goes through and she says, you know, Jesus is the homeless to be clothed. Jesus is the prostitute to befriend, Jesus the drug addict to remove from danger. And she goes through this whole litany. And I had that list in front of me. And I spent 5 months working on this and really praying. I mean, I spent time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I mean, with that litany, I just really listened to the Holy Spirit. And I prayed about who I needed to bring to this production, who needed to be in it. Mother Teresa, she was such a character in the sense that she never liked to talk about herself.
Or have her picture taken.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And she actually never liked public speaking either. You know, it was really the people around her that said, no, it's very important. The people need to hear
step
you.
Up to the microphone.
Yes, yes. Right. But she hated that. And it's so funny because prior to Come Be My Light, I mean, since that hit in 2007, that was in September, I was working on the show. It released May of 2007. So it was prior to that book coming out. But that tell-all book, before that book, when she would be interviewed, she'd talk about her life for probably about like 5 minutes of what happened before 40. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not kidding. And she received her call at 40. So literally most of the biographies that you pick up from her, you'll have like 5 or 10 pages of like, you know, she was born and she lived in Albania and you know, she became a nun at 18, went to, you know, Ireland and then found herself in Calcutta. And here we are. Here's the rest of her story. And the whole rest of the book would be from 40 onward, which is, you know, it's very promising for those who are in their 40s to know that there is a good, abundant life coming.
What would you do if you didn't care how old it was when you did it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It is amazing just from the sheer physical demands of ministry that she shows, you know, as you get more advanced in age. That was challenging.
Yeah.
So you decided to create 5 of these characters from her litany of people
Correct.
That we should be serving and seeing Jesus in.
Yeah, yeah. And I just felt, too, in our society, you know, we're around people all the time. We're, you know, even when we're on the freeways and someone cuts us off, that's a person in that car.
Not always.
And we forget that, you know, so I really wanted to kind of go hand in hand with Mother Teresa and learn her lessons and bring those lessons to the world.
Yeah. We're speaking with Kristen Jezak, actor, and I guess they call women actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
But actress.
Yeah.
Actress and playwright whose first big hit production is about Mother Teresa. She's got several others on the way, and she does a lot of other acting jobs. But if you'd like to jump into our conversation about this specifically, about her Mother Teresa project, give us a call at 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. So when you started carving or crafting these characters, did you go out and meet people who were those people embodied?
Yes, actually. So my first step when I started working on this in December, so we're talking the last semester of my school career at Villanova. So that December leading into that spring semester, I went home for Christmas and I actually served at a shelter for Christmas. And there was actually a homeless man named Jerry. Mm-hmm. And I have a homeless man in my production named Jerry.
And you play him.
And I do. I play him. Yeah. And he was just the life of the party and he inspired my Jerry. So my Jerry story is not necessarily his story, but just his spirit and his charisma, you know, and he had this really funny, like Mr. Magoo voice. And I decided, I was like, I can't really do a Mr. Magoo voice, but I came up with my own variation of how I felt that Jerry would sound.
Well, give us a line from Jerry.
Sure.
I met Mother Teresa once in the Bronx. Hey, I'm not kidding. I was in one of the soup kitchens run by sisters. I guess she was coming to inspect the place.
Bravo, that's one. We're gonna get samplings of some of these other characters too. So do you have is Jerry closest to your heart?
It's,
of all the characters you portray.
It's so funny, because people ask me that all the time. I'm like, I can't have favorites, but actually, Joy might be. Because Joy is based on a real person.
Okay. Well, Jerry was too, sort of.
Jerry was too, yeah. But Joy was someone that I grew up with, and
So. Well, so Kristen, just so our listeners can kind of envision this, when the curtain opens, mm-hmm. do you intersperse your portrayal of Mother Teresa with the characters, or do you meet them all at once or one by one? What's the structure?
I start off as Mother Teresa. And actually she comes in very peacefully. And then as soon as the music starts, she just springs into action. I had this documentary that I was using for research before, you know, to put the play together. And I saw there was this image. It's this 1970s documentary that she did of her just like boogieing up the hallway. Like she's ready
really?
To take command and just do what she needs to do. And I had that image of her and I was like, that's it. That's the beginning of my show. So literally when I come out, Mother Teresa, I have these cloths that my audience members actually trace their handprints on from each of my shows. And they're not hung yet. You just see the clothesline. And as soon as she comes out, she enlists people from the audience.
Oh, really?
And she gets them up and we hang up this
it's an interactive play.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, wow.
But she would be. She was very commanding. She was very like, you're going to be in service. You're coming with me
and it wasn't hard because people were drawn to her.
Yes.
I know like a lot of the students she used to teach in high school, those girls.
Yes.
Came and found her working in the slums and said, I want to be with you. I want to work with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So then do we meet Mother Teresa again in the story or do we just meet her at the first, the opening?
After that, you meet her in quotes.
Okay.
You know, like Jerry will talk about his encounter with Mother Teresa and what Mother Teresa had said to him about Jesus being in the distressing disguise of the poor. And then at the very, very end, you'll hear her litany and I kind of pull it all together.
Oh,
but I don't want to give away the end.
No. And by the way, that show, we are very honored that show is going to be available here this Thursday and Friday mm-hmm. at Freed Theater on the Christ Cathedral campus. So if you're in the greater Southland area, you might be able to still grab tickets for it.
Yes, it's at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm, yeah, and that's this Thursday, May 31st and June 1st, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, and you know, Los Angeles, that's not too far away.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you can come and see. I'm going on Thursday night, by the way.
I'm super
I hope
excited.
I can get your autograph.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Is there any, and so you have some of your brother's original music interwoven into this production too?
Yeah. He is so talented. He's such a blessing. Him and I,
good sister you are.
Yeah. Him and I have been working together for a long time. We actually started when I was in my late teens and he was in his, actually, no, he was in his late teens. I was in my early 20s. I was an undergrad and we put together a living rosary that he wrote music to.
Wow. What a and great we, partner to have in collaboration. So you write the words, he writes
he
the
writes
melodies.
The music.
That's
yeah.
Beautiful. Hey, we are going to continue our conversation with Kristen Gizak about all the characters she portrays in this Mother Teresa project, Person to Person, that's being performed here at Freed Cathedral this week. But it may be next week you're somewhere else. You're New Jersey or something like that.
Massachusetts. June 18th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be all over the place. So you maybe can catch her show if you're lucky enough. And also go to our Facebook page. You can see a live stream of the show. You can even see Kristen sitting here next to me. Mm-hmm. And that is the handiwork of incomparable Ian, who's standing in for Jimmy G today. So do join our conversation or just stay with us because we're going to continue talking with Kristen Gizak about her work in Hollywood, about her writings, about her her lay association with the Pauline sister or the Daughters of St. Paul. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Daughters of St. Paul. So stay with us. I am Peggy Normandin, and you are listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Welcome back to Call Me Catholic, Memorial Day weekend style. I am Peggy Normandin, and since this is a holiday where we celebrate and honor the lives of the brave and the generous, the ones who died in the line of service, it's an easy segue to a conversation about the life of one woman whose mission was service incarnate, St. Teresa of Calcutta. Our guest today, Kristen Gizak, wrote a play about Mother Teresa, and she's been performing it for 11 years now, Person to Person, the Mother Teresa Project. It's actually playing at Freed Theater right here on the Christ Cathedral campus this Thursday and Friday night. So it's a great honor to have her in the studio with us today. Hey, Kristen, getting back to that conversation about the structure and the different characters. So you explained that you portray five different people that you crafted that would be people that Mother Teresa would be drawn to, would
yes.
see Christ in.
Yes.
And you reenact them on stage.
Yes.
In addition to sort of reenacting Mother Teresa as mm-hmm. well. So we met Jerry, who's the homeless man.
Yes.
Who has a Mr. Magoo voice? Not quite.
Not quite. He's got his own little take.
And he plays, you have little props, like he's playing with the tin cans he's collecting the whole
yes.
time that he talks about. What's another compelling character that you take us to?
So I have, Claire, who is my nursing home resident, and she is a little spitfire. Very lively. There was a beautiful story of Mother Teresa about her visiting a nursing home, and she said that she didn't understand why all of the patients were looking at the door. And she asked one of the nurses, why are they looking at the door? And the nurse said to her, it's because they're always waiting for someone to come and visit.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And this character was loosely based. So I had a great grandmother who was in a nursing home for years with Alzheimer's, and I would visit her unit and I'd meet all these different people. And actually my grandfather right now also just started with Alzheimer's. So it's something that's been a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for people to remember the value. Sometimes it's really hard because they don't make sense. You know, when they speak, but
yeah, especially people with Alzheimer's that don't have a relationship with what we're seeing in the world,
mm-hmm.
You know, with the here and now really, or the past.
Yes.
That it's hard to be patient with them.
Yes.
And to see Jesus in them sometimes.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Although sometimes they're also very sweet and tender and innocent and
absolutely.
They've lost all their antagonism or bitterness about the their life. And
yeah. There's a childlikeness to them. Yeah.
So Mother Teresa did visit nursing homes?
She did, yes. And of course she served, you know, different people of different age groups. So there were elderly that she served. Mm-hmm. So
this character is Claire?
Claire,
so
yes.
Can you give us a little flavor of Claire?
Sure. Do you think they'll let Alberta come out of the room? She's been trapped in there for days. They never let her out. They say she caught pneumonia. Maybe Carl will have the day off and come to visit. I always like it when he comes to visit, but he's always busy with work during the day. He's a high-paid physician in Boston. I'm very proud of him. Maybe he'll have the day off and come by with those kids of his. My grandchildren.
I hope he comes through the door. So, Kristen, how do you, so Jerry had met in his fictional, dossier, he had met Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. So now how do you bring Mother Teresa? Did the characters talk about her a little bit?
So basically, most of them are themed from her quotes. Like, okay. I had quotes that I worked with, much like I told you about the inspiration for Claire. And there were a couple of other quotes. I had kind of like groupings of quotes from Mother Teresa that I incorporated into the development of those monologues. But they're not necessarily spoken out loud. Like, I don't necessarily refer to those quotes, but yeah.
You know, it's amazing when you start portraying people, some of the people that are neglected by the rest of the population, you must, when you encounter them now, you must have a heart for this because
yes.
You're good in their shoes, really.
Yes. Actually, there was a really beautiful holy hour that I went to once a month. St. Finbar in Burbank does this really beautiful holy hour. And I'll never forget, there's this little, first of all, they have two people in their community that go to this holy hour. One is a homeless man. Mm-hmm. And they do this beautiful thing where you actually go up to the Eucharist and they give you a Eucharistic blessing with the monstrance, and it's so beautiful. But I literally, my heart just ached because first I saw this gentleman that brought his young crippled boy. And I have a disabled woman in my play, and she's based on a disabled man that I knew. Mm-hmm. And it was just so, I can't even express what I felt, the love that I felt. Mm-hmm. And then this homeless man also approaching the Eucharist, and it was all in the same night. And I was just bawling because I was just like, oh my goodness, you know, just the presence of Christ. Yeah. And just the, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know if I want to give away the end of my play, but I actually go out into the audience and see and take a moment. It's like a prayer. It's like a closing prayer. And I take a moment with the audience to see Jesus in them. And I've had times in my audience where I've had the disabled, where I've had, and it's just so moving. There's something that's so rich that I can't even put into words that I see in them.
Well, I think they are close to God because they are weak. You know, and in our weakness, that's when we have the most intimate relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he, you know, he just caresses us.
Yeah.
So that's really beautiful. I remember at our, I go to a chapel, in the Diocese of Orange occasionally, and there was a woman that would attend daily mass, and she was clearly, she had a mental disorder.
Mm.
And it would manifest itself in all kinds of odd, spontaneous, expressions during mass and everything. But, during the consecration, her eyes were right there. And every time she entered or exited a pew, she genuflected. And it was like that. She knew that.
She knew.
She understood
she knew.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trapped in this kind of other sort of expression of mental illness.
Yeah.
And it must be so frustrating.
Yeah.
Kristen, where did you develop a heart for this kind of stuff? I mean, you were a theater major.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your master's degree in theater at Villanova University. This isn't typical of where most, acting or playwrights want to go into this area.
Yeah.
So how did you get drawn into it?
So growing up, my mother was a youth minister and a confirmation coordinator. And I grew up in that, cradle Catholic, growing up with the faith, going to Steubenville conferences, exciting. And I saw a Catholic artist growing up, and I will never forget the second, Steubenville I went to. I was I was a sophomore in high school, and Father Stan Fortuna was there.
Oh.
And he talked about, the new evangelization. It was the first time I had heard that phrase and about John Paul II's call for the new evangelization. And it just really spoke to my heart. And I knew I needed to respond to that call. I knew I've always been, as much as I've always been in the faith, I've also always been in theater. Mm-hmm. My father, when I was about 3 years old, had a heart attack, almost died, ended up having to do some rehab to strengthen his heart. And he loved to sing. So he ended up doing musical theater. And I would do the plays with him as a kid.
Like, which I love musical theater. Throw out a few for me. Which ones did you love most doing?
Oh, that I love most doing? Pippin.
Pippin. Oh, okay. You did great little Pippin.
I played Bertha.
Oh,
when
okay.
I was in college. As a freshman in college, it was my first, big role. And as a freshman, it was, a big deal.
Yeah. I loved musical theater.
Yeah, and we did a musical Christmas Carol when I was in high school. My first play ever was Annie.
Oh,
I was
okay.
an orphan in the chorus of Annie.
There are no small parts, only small actors.
Small parts, and I did Music Man with my dad
as
well.
Oh, fun. See, there's a good one.
Yeah.
He's a what? He's a musician.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you had this kind of theater ambience in your household
yes.
growing up, which is very fun. I had that too. We
yeah.
sang all the songs.
Yeah, so when I heard that call for the new evangelization and having these gifts in my heart, I just had to respond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Hey, I want to mention to our listeners right now two things. I want to mention to you that if you would like to call in and join this conversation, Kristen is so much fun to talk to. I want to share her company with you. The number is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. We'd love to have you join our conversation. But I also want to mention to all of you guys, in case you didn't know, that EWTN actually has an app. You can put it on your phone. All you have to do, I think you can get it on the EWTN website, or you can go to your app store on your smartphone. It's free, and it's really cool. It has podcasts on there. It has all the different programming schedules. It has the liturgy, all the readings from our liturgy every week. It's got everything you need. It's right there on your phone. So if you're standing in line, you can just tap that little EWTN logo, and boom, you're connected to the program. Do you have it on your phone, Ian?
I'm downloading it as we speak.
I mean, I'm glad the camera's not on you, man, because we'd have to send you to confession. But anyway, check it out. It's the EWTN app, and it's very, very fun. Kristen Gizak, you did tell me that you were discerning a vocation. You've been telling us all about your interest in going into theater.
Yes.
But there was a point in there where you thought maybe you had a religious calling.
I did. Actually, it was kind of funny because speaking of those Steubenville conferences, and I was just telling someone this story last night.
They hammer vocations hard on this.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they do. But then the Daughters of St. Paul were there, and I grew up a public school kid. You know, I went to public school. As much as my mom, you know, I was in youth group growing up, and I was, you know, but I was in public school. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget there was this little booth of the Daughters of St. Paul, and we walked
Talk
by.
Talk about Spitfires.
Oh, yeah. And we walked by as this big group of kids, and the only person that they handed a prayer card to, and there were other girls in the group. I want to just stress that.
Kristen, we got something for you.
Yeah, they gave it to me, and then all of my peers were just looking at me, and I was like, no! They're like, they want you. I'm like, oh no!
What were you wearing that day?
I don't
Did
even
you have
remember.
Your scapular on the outside of
I
your
don't
outfit?
No, there must have been something about me that said this one.
Oh, a beautiful little sanctity, perhaps.
I hope so. So anyways, I remember taking that card. I was mortified, shoving it in a Bible and never wanting to touch it again because I was really like, you know, like not me. And most of the nuns that I had.
That's a self-conscious age, too, where you don't like that.
Yeah.
Call, you don't like that kind of attention.
No, high school, junior in high school. Nope. Yeah. So I remember shoving it in there. And then I had gone to World Youth Day. My first World Youth Day was in Toronto and was John Paul II's last. And it was just unbelievable getting to be there.
What a gift.
Oh, yeah. And I had a best friend who I had the hearts for, and we went, and he decided to enter the seminary. And I was like, oh, no. And then I thought about it. I was like, maybe I was
Nothing
meant to
kills
be.
A romance.
Seriously.
The call to the priesthood.
Call to the priesthood. Maybe I was meant to be a nun. So then I ended up taking this card out, and it started this whole process of contacting them. But I'm so grateful.
How providential.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful I did because especially if there's anyone out there who's thinking of a vocation and you're discerning a vocation, I want to let you know that it's not a scary thing. That is the best thing that I did with my life to discern, because number one, I have the most beautiful community of sisters.
Well, let's make sure we clarify that you did not choose to enter the religious order.
Correct.
But you developed a wonderful friendship with the sisters.
I did. And I ended up becoming a lay associate with them. I can still get married.
Put that out there.
Yes. Sure. Yes. And I live my call, you know, in the industry and through the show and using the media.
And tell us what you call that position that you have as a lay person because it's unusual.
Yes, it's called a Pauline Cooperator.
Pauline Cooperator.
Yes, and it's like a third order. So I took promises to be part of their apostolic mission. And by the way, there are many ways that you can become part of that mission. It's not just doing what I'm doing, the active. It's also the prayer life. Mm-hmm. Having a heart in prayer for interceding for those who are in the media is very important. We have to pray for our media.
Well, it's interesting because these are the media nuns,
mm-hmm.
right? Hashtag
yes.
media nuns.
Yes.
So you developed a relationship. I mean, it was very compatible. How would they have known that you had this call to the theater, too?
Yeah.
So it really was
very... It was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It's providential for sure.
Yeah, I'm really grateful. As scary as it was at the time and humiliating.
Well, so you came out here, this girl from Massachusetts, and you started this career for yourself in acting and in mm-hmm. writing, because you are a playwright. How difficult was that, and how much did you kind of cling to the sisters to kind of give you some foundation?
Oh,
in a
gosh.
World that's kind of scary up there.
Yeah,
LA.
Yeah. The sisters have been home. Let me tell you, it was the most reluctant experience. It's so funny because I talked about the sisters being reluctant. I don't consider myself the most reluctant person in the world. I'm very much of like I'm going to do it, and I'm going out there. But yeah, these two cases, it's life changing cases that are always like, you know, I don't know what it is. We have a hesitation, which I don't understand, but it's always the best in the end.
Sure, those are moments where we really have to scrutinize who we are and kind of dig deep.
Yeah.
So you've gotten some interesting gigs in Hollywood mm-hmm. As an actress. You've been on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yes.
Right. You
yes.
were on a Super Bowl commercial.
Yep.
So you're doing well.
Yes.
But do you feel that you have an image also as the woman who writes plays about Mother Teresa and portrays her?
I do. I really do. And it's so funny that you said that. I mean, I really think, you know, the Holy Spirit definitely has guided me and protected me. I haven't had to take a job that I felt like, oh gosh, this is against who I am, mm-hmm. you know, or the life of my faith. And I'm very, very grateful for that. I'm like, I'm going to say it, and then next week I'm going to get called in for something. So I'm like almost afraid to say it, but I'm like, thank God, you know, I have been protected and I haven't had to make any hard decisions.
You haven't had to encounter Harvey Weinstein.
No. And you know what? It is really tough, especially when you're first beginning, because first of all, you don't choose what you audition for. I have no idea.
Your agent just sends you out?
Yeah. And she doesn't
even know.
So
you don't know in advance?
No,
oh, wow.
I know the day before. I get the audition the day before I know. That's how much time I normally know in terms of a job. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of doing research on that job, you know, and oftentimes too, I think what people don't realize is, especially when it's a new show, you can't find anything. There's nothing to find. I mean, you know, when it's brand new, and they're really keeping it.
But they kind of want fresh reads on it. I mean,
correct.
They don't even know how they want
correct.
It sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of the content, like what
yeah,
is the
so
show
you don't know
really
what you're
about?
Getting into. Yeah,
yeah, what is
right.
the show really about? They're really protective of that mm-hmm. because, you know, they want to protect so that when it releases, it's fresh and it's new. So they don't want any of those, you know, they don't want the storyline out there. So it's yeah. really, it's really hard. And oftentimes too, like I've had music videos, like when I first came out here, music videos were like the scariest thing in the world because you would be in part of a music video and you wouldn't see the rest of the music video.
The rest was.
You wouldn't. And then all of a sudden, like, you'd find out like there'd be this crazy video and there's like a naked woman on a horse and you're like, I didn't know there was a naked woman in the horse of the music video I was in, because you don't get that information.
Well, they don't always know. There is this wild sort of...
No.
Those things are usually stream of consciousness.
Yes. So be a little gentle with those in Hollywood.
Okay.
You know, when you see someone, you don't know the true story of what they knew and what they were getting themselves into.
Well, when they go to look up Kristen Gizak's profile, does it show Mother Teresa person to person that you wrote that and that you portray her?
It's on my resume.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's on my resume.
Yeah, just getting mm-hmm. the word out there.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the next project you're working on, which is a play about women called mm-hmm. Crowns.
Unexpected Crowns.
Unexpected Crowns.
Yes, yes.
Now, what was the inspiration behind that, and how far are you into getting it produced?
So the really funny story about that show is, before I'd even moved to L.A., I always had a heart. I think body image is just such a hard thing, especially for young girls.
Oh, sure.
And growing up and helping my mom for years, and even my own personal story of the struggle of being a woman and knowing that you're beautiful and knowing that you're worth it is really hard in our society. So I've always had a heart and I've always wanted to do something for women. And I had like development of different characters. Like I was like, oh, maybe it'd be cool to have like an exercise guru. Like I was just thinking of all these different characters. And when I came out here in 2015, I had a group of ladies who we decided to produce a web series. And we did a bunch of digital shorts with those characters. So that was kind of like the first movement with that. And then I, about a year and a half ago, I was praying a novena to Our Lady, and I didn't know what I was going to do next, because oftentimes, as exciting as it might look for those in the industry, you go through periods where
it is exciting, and then dry periods. Yeah.
So I was in a dry period of, I don't know when I'm going to book my next job, and I don't understand like what's going to happen next. And I had prayed this novena, and I had another girl who contacted me. Her manager had said, you should do a one-woman show. And she's like, uh-uh. But she knew me, and she also loved doing character
work. She knew
work.
You could do a one-woman
show. She did. And she said, why don't we do a two-woman show? And I said to her, I said, that's great. I said, but if we're going to do it, it has to be something meaningful. And I said, for a very long time, I wanted to do something to help women. Could we do this? And she said, that's wonderful. So she was game. Her name's Kara Britton. Nice. So I think it's important that I say her name since I'm working so
sure,
closely
Kara.
With her.
Shout out to Kara. For sure. Well, it's kind of lifting up the image of women, or sort of exploring what women have struggled with.
Yes. And the idea, we got the image of the crowns by the fact that women wear all these different hats.
Yeah.
At different points.
Well,
in
we
their
just
lives.
Saw the royal wedding with all the
yes.
hats for sure.
Yes. And we wanted to just say, you know, the fact that there is a royalty, there is a sense of royalty in the first time mom. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of royalty, you know, in the young prom queen and the wallflower and the crying in the bathroom, you know, all of these characters that we really wanted to show and just talk about the value of woman.
Yeah, that's excellent. So are you close to completion?
Yes. So we've got it in the sense that it's done, and now it's the next steps of getting it out there, of where we're going to perform it and what we're going to do with it. But
So you have all these characters in your head, Christy, because you have these new women that you're crafting for the Crowns play, and then you have the Mother Teresa Project.
Yes.
Can we go back to the Mother Teresa Project just for a minute and revisit maybe another, or visit one of the, introduce us to one of the other characters in the play?
Sure. So I'm going to give you one of my more dramatic moments.
Okay. Good.
Since we've
stop smiling, Ian. This is dramatic.
The comic moments. Joy is it's so funny that you were mentioning Joy at the top of the show
because
I have a character, Joy.
Aww,
and she is
Angie's granddaughter.
Yes, she is very joyful. And she's disabled. She's in a wheelchair, and she's actually based on a gentleman that I knew from my youth group growing up. He was one of the leaders. But he actually used to walk. He used to walk, and he ended up with muscular dystrophy, and he was being fitted for a chair by the last year of his high school, of senior, you know, by the end of senior high. And it's one of those diseases that works kind of up the body. So, you know, first you lose muscle control in your legs and slowly
your torso.
You got it. And he is just, he has such the spirit and the light of Christ in him. Like I can't even, his name is Val, and he's just amazing. And he gives these beautiful, beautiful testimonies, to the kids. And I was like, I need to do something on him. So obviously Joy is a girl. So I took his story and I kind of, you know, twisted it and put on some artistic, you know, flavor into that. But, I'm just going to give you the last part of her monologue.
So here is Joy.
I thought I was that chair, that same chair that worked like a magnet, sucking all the eyes onto me. They didn't see Joy. They saw chair, my own portable freak show. I am not a freak show, though. I am Joy. It took me a long time to realize that, but I made it through high school, in college, and believe if you may or may not, I have a job. I like to sing. I'm part of the gospel choir in South Philly. I'm serious. Watch. I've got that joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. And this chair cannot take it away. My disease cannot take it away. I live in this world, not in this chair. Well, maybe the chair is important for now, but I've got one thing to say. When I die, I'm not taking this chair with me. And I will dance.
That's beautiful. Wow. So that was Joy from your Mother Teresa Project, Person to Person. So many compelling characters. Did you start out with those five, or have you, over the years, because you've been doing this for 11 years, have you tweaked them a little bit or changed them or interspersed them?
So I started out with those five, and then I also added a, when I was younger, and I had first
well, you're
started
young
out.
Still, Kristen.
I know, but when I was fresh out of college, I used to perform a high school student as well.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
because I perform, I have a prostitute named Anne, and she is such a beautiful story. She talks about how, she decided to have this baby instead of an abortion. And the fact that she doesn't want to be a prostitute, you know, she's kind of stuck in this position. And I think it's really important for people to hear that, you know, and to hear that someone in that kind of situation can make a heroic sacrifice, that we're not just all black, you know, that there's goodness in us and that there's Christ.
Well,
in
you're
us.
Humanizing, you know, segments of the population that we tend to generalize about, kind of put a mask over and say, this is a disabled person, or this is an old
yes.
person.
Yes.
This is a prostitute.
Yes.
So that's really beautiful. That's a beautiful service. And I'm sure your audiences are all really moved by the end of the show.
Yeah. So most of the time, or especially when I was first starting, I'd just either pull her out, or, you know, when I was performing for younger audiences, or I would replace her with this high school student.
So the high school student was kind of feeling that image torture that you do as an adolescent where you're going through, what does everybody else think? And am I popular?
And it was really fun because she was actually getting ready. It's so funny. I just realized the prom correlation in both shows, but, she was getting ready for the prom and she's trying on dresses. And I have I used to bring out three dresses and I'd have the kids choose which one she was going to try on in the middle of the show. And then she talks about how she's not just some boy's toy, you know, the fact that she, you know, she needs to be loved, and she needs to love others, and she's going to start this whole new revolution of love, you know.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you're bringing the message to the stage, because it's one thing when we hear it from the pulpit, it's another thing when we're reading it in a book, but stage is a certain kind of art form that really helps penetrate the you know, brings truths and presents them in very persuasive ways. Of course, Pope St. John Paul II loved theater.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great ministry for him, too, before he became Pope, and then the world was his theater.
Yes.
But I bet he is up there blessing your work. Do you ever feel the intercession, the presence of Mother Teresa in your work?
Yes. Yes, I do. She's such, it's so funny because somebody asked me the other day, they're like, well, what do you do to get into the mindset of Mother Teresa? You know, what do you do when you go out there? And it's really funny because as an actor, they kind of train you to, have something that you're either thinking of giving someone, like something that you want to give them or you want to get from someone, like that's what you think about. Mm. So I always prepare beforehand, about wanting to give love and embodying love. And
beautiful. That is a beautiful place to end our conversation with Kristen Gizak. Catch her show, Person to Person, The Mother Teresa Project, at Fried Theater this Thursday and Friday night. Give us again how you can find it.
Yeah, so motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com.
Yeah, okay. God bless you, Kristen, and keep up. I think, I don't have Jimmy G here telling me that it's time, but I think we are getting ready to close the show. So tune in again next week, folks.
It's great. Live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.